Okay, Mrs. Clinton, let's practice again. I want a chicken burrito bowl.
I want a chicken torpedo depot.
Chicken burrito bowl.
I want a Shipman Amigo Completo.
Chicken burrito bowl.
I want a cheetah alter ego stole.
No. Why is this so hard?
How about this? I walk in and I say, I want a...
Why would you do that?
People love it when I laugh.
That just seems weird. We're going to try something else. I'm going to say the order again. Don't say it back. Let it sink in. Be the order.
Okay, total mindlessness.
Mindfulness. Okay? I want a chicken burrito bowl. I want a chicken burrito bowl. I want a chicken burrito bowl. When you're ready, say the order.
Okay. Cricket placebo bolo.
Mrs. Clinton, you're the smartest person I know.
Yes, but I have a hard time being a regular human being. I always have. And now you've got me in a van named Snoopy?
Scooby.
Ordering guacamora.
Guacamole.
Can't I talk about market-driven solutions to deforestation in Indonesia?
You know what? Go ahead and do that. We'll work on ordering food and try again tomorrow.
We can practice in Doobie.
Scooby.
I can't wait. Meanwhile, the nose wants to talk about Chipotle politics and Gwyneth, Goop, and food stamps. And now the guy who brought Ulysses S. Grant to Red Lobster, Colin McEnroe.
He didn't know what to order either. He was way out of his depth. All right, so, yeah, you know, on the nose, we don't usually talk about electoral politics, but I'm not sure, as we talk about Hillary Rodham Clinton's trek across the country in her van Scooby, that we're really talking about politics. It seems as though we are talking more about a cultural moment, more about a moment in which America and Hillary Rodham Clinton try to get used to each other in a brand new way. Something like that. There's something going on here. So I've brought the finest minds available together to figure out what is going on here. So guitar legend and producing legend and winner of many awards, Jim Chapdelaine, is here with us. Jacques Lamar, playwright and one of the fearless leaders of the Mark Twain House, also with us. And from The Cut, a magazine for Connecticut's grumpy young adults, it's the very grumpy Teresa Grammer. Actually, you're not that grumpy today. You don't seem that grumpy.
Okay.
we can get you grumpy. We can get you grumpy. All right. So we are going to begin by talking about sort of, you know, Hillary's odd week and this strange repositioning of her that seems to be going on mostly out of the view of TV cameras and what kind of strategy that is. A little bit later, as we move along, we will also talk about is Gwyneth Paltrow reached a point where she annoys people so much she's not even allowed to be an anti-poverty activist. And lastly, it is sort of an all-women show, but that is, I don't know what to say about that, actually. we're going to talk about an ESPN reporter, Britt McHenry, who's caught. There's a couple of sort of – one of the themes here is security cameras, because Hillary Clinton's burrito order was captured only on security camera at the Chipotle. and then the security camera at the towing company captured a much less flattering exchange involving an ESPN reporter being really mean to the tow truck person. All right. So all of that plus endorsements. Here we go. So, Jacques, I'm going to begin with you just because you confessed that you had actually – that you've been struggling. You've had a Hillary Rodham Clinton struggle. I won't try to summarize it. You summarize it.
Well, I put on my Facebook page earlier in the week that, you know, I said basically it was an appeal. It wasn't, you know, anything mean-spirited or whatever, saying, you know, someone please, you know, say something that will get me excited about Hillary Clinton running for president. And it became like not vicious but a pretty quick pig pile of people basically not even sort of allowing the question in a way. It was sort of like, you know, she's our, you know, our best and only chance of recapturing the White House. Like there was this level of inevitability and there was also this whole, you know, she's a woman and that's important. And it's still like I wasn't really seeing what I really wanted to hear, which is why I should be excited about her. It was more like fearing the consequences of not being excited about her or gender shaming me for not being excited. And so as I was, you know, getting ready this morning, I told my husband I was going to be on the show. And he's like, don't say anything bad about Hillary Clinton. You'll sway undecided voters to vote for Ted Cruz.
And I'm like, have to say something horrible to sway somebody to vote for Ted Cruz.
On NPR.
Yeah. Right. This is not the demo. Yes.
Well, I mean, Hillary Clinton and her team, they clearly know that this is a little bit of a problem, that there are people like Jacques out there who are being told by other people not – based on love or admiration or embrace of principles, but simply because of that sort of that last option argument that they have, then that's not good enough, right? I mean, you can't win an election that way. People tend to vote for people they actually like. First of all, did everybody watch the Getting Started video on Sunday with all the people? You know, didn't that make you like Hillary?
That couple whose dog won't stop eating the garbage, and that's their big problem. It really made me like them. But it was a strange selection of people, and it was very, very odd. But she did a very good job of, you know, including the United Color of Benetton in there, and there was a lesbian couple and a gay couple. She's really, like, packing everybody
The gay couple have now invited her to their wedding, and when they did this thing, if you haven't seen it, it's this kind of montage of all these.
They don't ask her to officiate, they're really missing out.
And they didn't even really know that they were going to be in the Hillary. I don't know what they were told. Maybe they were told it was a Benetton commercial. I don't know, but they didn't even really know they were going to be. But they were very excited about it, and they want her to come to the wedding.
There has to be a version with all the outtakes of the people that didn't.
This is the producer here,
and that's what there's where the money is in this thing. Like, you know, the guys in tuxedos, the bankers, and
the guy who's just like, I'm worrying about finding my next fix.
How do I get a Swiss bank account?
But wasn't she like squirrely about the issue of gay marriage in the last go round?
She's evolved.
Both she and Obama.
But you know that she was in favor of it before. This is what bothers me about Hillary Clinton. And so it's like now I was just reading something. I think it might have been in New York Magazine. There was, you know, the article about the inevitability of Hillary Clinton. And you know, she's got this whole thing about campaign finance reform being a big thing. And then, of course, someone questions her about her own super PAC. And you're like, how does this campaign finance reform affect your own super PAC? And she was like, I don't know.
Well, you're going to get in trouble, Jacques.
That's right. I really want to like her. I like the job that she did as the Secretary of State.
Yeah, that's what this whole week has been about.
This is her Obamafication moment there, where she's looking back, why did he kick my butt? Mm-hmm. First of all, he was likable, and his policy wasn't that different. He was a really likable, compelling candidate. Mm-hmm. So she's actually hired his digital team, and I'm sure had a moment where she thought, well, if you can't beat him, join him, and he can't run against me again, unless he truly is.
Is Biden not running? Has he decided?
I think everybody thinks that Biden's
Running. I think once he took that baby's pacifier, he was out.
The country collectively decided that we're not going to allow that.
By the way, as we go along here, you're free to call in, 860-275-7266. We're trying to talk a little bit specifically, too, not so much about the politics and policies of Hillary's launch, because, first of all, she has avoided them as much as possible, but more about sort of, you know, what are the optics here and what is – I mean, as sort of a media studies guy, I'm really interested in what she's trying to do here, what it is that she's trying to do. Because, in fact, if you're trying to prove to people that you're likable, typically what you do is you do things that give them the opportunity to like you.
But, you go on Ellen first. Yeah. First you go on Ellen.
Things like that. What
or
she's
Jimmy
doing right
Fallon.
Now, she's staying very low profile. She's driving around in this van called Scooby. The press is not invited to a lot of the events that she goes to. So we did – John Stewart had a lot of fun just showing the press running after – this van to go that's going nowhere that they're even allowed to be anyway.
And which sort of left Marco Rubio's announcement in the dust because of Hillary's Chipotle order, right?
Right. The Chipotle order was bigger than
it
any
just
story.
buried Marco Rubio's announcement that he's going to run for president.
But why is that? I mean, it seems like it's working. Why is it working? Why would that work so well?
Well, you'll know when the other candidates start naming their vans and what they name them.
I honestly have no idea why it's working so well other than I have this idea. So, like, we're going to talk about Gwyneth later, right? And then there's also Martha Stewart, who for a long time I've actually all thought were like, you know, Martha Stewart is a very funny lady and I think she'd be fun to hang out with because, you know, Justin Bieber roast aside, on like Letterman, she's funny and she's kind of got like a sly little wit. She understands herself.
And she's self-deprecating too.
Yeah.
And I think people like that.
And I think Hillary Clinton, like, if it allowed to actually be herself, might be that way. But in politics, she because she's not just a lifestyle guru, she's a politician, she probably doesn't get to be that way.
But I mean, it's odd because, you know, she didn't come to public consciousness as a politician. And, you know, I think that because she was a first lady, there should be some kind of, you know, already sort of ingrained affection or something that we would have for her.
That was a pretty rough first lady tenure, though.
I know. I know.
I would ask Chuck, what's it going to take to put you in a Hillary Clinton today?
Yeah.
Good question. I mean, I would rather sit down and have coffee with Barbara Bush. She's my kind of gal.
So. You are really in trouble now.
Wow.
Starting with
when
you walk in the door tonight. All right. Well, here, I do have sort of a couple of media studies ideas about what's going on here. One of them is the obvious one, and I even noticed it in the New York Times article today, one of the articles today. Cable television has not been able to get enough of Mrs. Clinton this week, treating her pit stops and political events in the Midwest like breaking news that requires hours of after-action analysis. So one of the things that you do if you want to get people excited about you, and you also know that you don't always play that well on camera, is create an artificial scarcity, right? You create demand. And I think that's what she's done kind of intentionally, or some media handler has done that, sort of saying, well, you know what? We're not going to do a lot of public stuff. We're going to make them run around after us like we're the Beatles. But for the most part, we will sort of stay out of their sight, which creates a lot of appetite for knowing what's going on, even if nothing's going on. That's number one. But the other thing that I was thinking is, what's the biggest change that's happened in the last 4 years? And I was thinking about this because every 4 years I do teach a media and the presidential campaign course at Trinity College that's sort of taught in real time. You know, what's like the biggest thing? And I decided that the biggest change in the last 4 years, and you're going to have a hard time believing that it wasn't around in 2012, is the selfie. I don't even think the word selfie existed in 2012. It's a newer word than we think it is, and it's a newer idea than we think it is. And so what's the selfie? The selfie is sort of, you know, you get to record your own life, right? You in this very small-scale way become the sort of the documentarian of your own life. And I think in this initial push across the country, she's kind of – I've seen some pictures of people taking selfies with her, and there's this kind of sense that, oh, no, we're not going to let big media and big cameras – take over.
But don't you think she has plenty of time for that?
Oh, yeah.
This initial phase is just this sort of happy remake, and then she'll whip out the policy later on.
So then the other question is, why was – I mean the word that keeps being – there? I don't think a word has been said as much as Chipotle has been said this week. So why was
Chipotle? They should have offered the Hillary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So why was – any theories about why Chipotle was so important?
Well, but it's just not this time, right? Like when Obama went to Chipotle for lunch and reached over the sneeze guard, people lost their minds. And then I was reading an article about that today, and at the bottom there was a picture of Mitt Romney ordering at a Chipotle like a perfect gentleman. And so this isn't the first time a politician showed up to get a burrito and the press went nuts.
Is it possible they were just hungry?
Yeah, I think it might be. But there's also something about Chipotle, right? It's not McDonald's, which is gross, and you can't go there because you'll die of a heart attack in office. Like, you know, isn't it – actually, Bill Clinton did that, right?
Bill Clinton was the last person who could really go to McDonald's.
Yeah.
He could go there.
Yeah.
But he had
people throwing him over the fence.
But you can't also – you can't go to like Gino's Fine Italian either. You have to go middle of the road where the people are, and the people are at Chipotle right now.
But this wasn't a staged stop. This was literally like
hungry.
Just going to get food, right?
Unless you believe that there are no accidents, unless that you believe that somehow they really wanted to create a lot of. I mean,
but who leaked the?
The security
in Chipotle
footage?
Gate. Who leaked the footage?
We don't know.
Burrito.
A young fellow by named Bill Zapruder.
Yeah,
who was a descendant of the original Zapruder.
I'd offer a couple of things. One of them is
the gassy knoll.
Sorry, I can't top that.
Okay.
But you know, everybody's according to the Latino vote right now, so it's not that bad. Even if you think the Chipotle is kind of, you know, homogenized Mexican food. Not a bad idea to be eating Mexican food instead of at Carl Jr.'s or something. And Chipotle actually does – I mean there are analyses of the psychographics of all these places. Chipotle skews liberal. Their clientele runs a little bit liberal. Now in some ways – maybe something a little bit more middle of the road might have been smart, except that she's still in the primary phase, probably a good idea. Chipotle also, you know, they take a lot of pride in the fact and the sourcing of the pork, mm-hmm. you know, and the fact that it doesn't have antibiotics and stuff like that. I don't think there are any accidents.
Maybe she researched where does Elizabeth Warren have lunch.
I would like to suggest to any candidate trying to court the Latino vote through through fast food to go to a place called Taco Palenque in Texas, which is I didn't even realize it was fast food at first, but it's like it's delicious and it's like a more authentic version of Chipotle, and you can only get them in South Texas. So when you're down there trying to convince people to vote for you, go there, Hillary.
And the youth vote maybe at Taco Bell.
Right. Yes. All right, we're going to take a little break here. We have a little bit different schedule here because of fundraising. We'll come back. We'll talk more. Might as well be my bank, dropping $20 bills. It's a modern day heaven that'll leave you amazed, where oblivious animals are naturally raised. Food with integrity tastes so incredibly, keeping it a secret like I just commit a felony. Damn right, we went down the line, from the beans to the rice with cilantro lime. You know it's gonna be okay, you got yourself Chipotle. All right, so it's not the show about ladies that nobody likes. We're all trying to like her. We're all working on this. I mean,
accept your theme.
We will not be able to like Britt McHenry, but I mean, I think all these ladies
until she goes to Chipotle.
They're potentially
you're femme shaming.
So Gwyneth Paltrow has had kind of a curious arc. She's gone from during and after Shakespeare in Love, it was hard to imagine a more appealing actress. I mean, I just loved her in that role. When she was just so fabulous and wonderful to look at and great. And so she's sort of gone through many other iterations since then. But she's turned into this kind of lifestyle guru. She's got this website called Goop, where she's working to turn Goop into a, as she puts it, fully shoppable. I don't even know that was a word, a fully shoppable lifestyle brand. And so Goop is kind of all about sort of wonderful things that are good for you or good to have. And I don't even know how to describe Goop. Somebody else describe Goop. What is Goop?
It's like a, you know, it's just, all right, it's you like, whole, it's like Whole Foods for even richer people.
For really rich people, yeah. Right. So
skinnier people.
Yeah. And she's taken a certain amount of grief about this. But so this week, like a lot of other celebrities and other famous people and U.S. senators and lots of people have tried to do this, she's taken up this so-called SNAP challenge. Basically, the idea is that you try to live on the budget that someone who is getting food stamps lives under. And one of the reasons that this comes up is because food stamps are always being challenged, or the SNAP program is always being challenged by the right as being too sumptuous somehow. And there are always these anecdotal stories about, you know, Republican senators who've seen someone buying crab legs with their SNAP coupons and all this kind of stuff. So what happens is people try to live that way. It's, you know, for Gwyneth, it was $29 for a week of food in New York City.
She could still buy a gun, though. You could still buy a gun with food stamps.
Well, and for some reason or other, it didn't go over well. And I'm sort of wondering whether people are being fair to Gwyneth.
Well, I've seen criticism of these before because there's something sort of patronizing about it. It's like, oh,
Poverty tourism.
Yes, yeah, which I tend to agree with. Like, yeah, we get it. It's hard to live on food stamps. Do something about it. Stop just doing this. But I don't get the Gwyneth hatred. Again, she's one of these ladies who I think is probably a lot of fun on the side. She's kind of sly, and if you actually pay attention to her when she's on, you know, Jimmy Kimmel or something, she's actually pretty funny, and I don't get why people don't like her. Goop aside, Goop is stupid. That is really, really stupid.
Like, you know, when you look at, you know, her conscious uncoupling from her husband, like, you know, what she wrote about it, it just opened her up for this level of criticism. Yeah. Just
and she followed that up with that whole steaming business, which I think is slightly disconcerting for some.
Okay, so just to set the stage for people who don't know what either one of those things is, and I'm not really sure I'm going to explain the second one, but but so when she decided, she and Chris Martin, her husband, he's of course the Coldplay guy, when they decided they weren't going to be together anymore, she wrote something about the fact that they were going to engage in an act of conscious uncoupling as opposed to breaking up. So that's what Jacques is referring to.
Which, you know, quite frankly, does sound disdain worthy.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? Here's the thing. The word is annoying.
We're not getting along. How about that?
Well, that's the thing is I feel what I took away from that was that she had a better idea of, like, this marriage is ending. That doesn't mean we were not successful in what we were doing. And that, you know, it doesn't – divorce doesn't have to always be this terrible, horrible thing.
And maybe it's a better way of managing the
pops. But she gave it a silly name and people hated it. So, yeah.
Of managing the what?
Of the paparazzi. Maybe it's a better way of handling them. Like, yeah. Look, we don't
hate
each other.
So is it possible to have an unconscious coupling?
I think yeah. those go on
yes.
all the time.
Yeah.
That's called date rape.
That's right.
Yeah.
Go to any bar around 11 o'clock. You'll see that starting to happen.
So, join a fraternity.
But, I mean, the thing is, when I looked at her photo of food, I mean, I think part of it was like they felt like her snap items had been art directed, like beautifully laid out. And
too many limes.
Yeah. There were a lot of limes.
There were a lot
I don't
of limes.
Know
so
what
maybe
she
a better thing
that.
For her to do would be like to just give a big pile of money to this and make a big deal out of that.
Maybe
rather
all the proceeds
than trying
from
to live like
should
that.
Go
but
to
did
it.
You see then she had like recipes for what she purchased and so like there were like outrageous items. You know, it was like, well, since I have to eat like a poor person, I can still be fabulous. And you know,
well,
it,
yeah, clearly if you looked at the photo array there, the and I think you're right too. It looked like it had been art directed, and there was cilantro and lime. So clearly we were going in a lime cilantro area. And so there's I think a few things that happened. One thing is
another theme.
Well, yeah. I mean, really, yeah. She should just be making burritos and get on the Chipotle train because
exactly.
because she had all the makings there.
And I think there is. A little bit of a Lady Bountiful thing that doesn't go over all that well, where you sort of say, well, yes, I'm going to take the snap coupons and we're going to make some delicious and wonderful things. And the rest of you, you there with your snap coupons, you could be making this too. Look how yeah. nice it is. And you really don't want to be that person, right? Yeah. Because the people who are dealing with snap on a 52-week-a-year basis are dealing with it in the teeth of gritty realities and they're often working multiple jobs and nobody's got any time.
Or cilantro.
Nobody's got any time to put together these wonderful things, and maybe culturally it's not even, you know, anywhere in on their radar screen anyway. And so that kind of dictating a wonderful life to them is just that.
Is she saying it's wonderful though, or is she saying, hey, this is going to be really hard? It just looked
no,
wonderful.
She said that it was really hard and that she eventually caved and ate a bag of licorice.
She did more than that. She went out to a restaurant.
She ate a bag of licorice?
And chicken.
Yeah.
Not a bag of chicken, but. But I mean, the thing is, you know, I mentioned when we were emailing back and forth about Martha Stewart on the Justin Bieber roast and how it was such a brilliant moment because, you know, she has that veneer of annoying perfection that so many people love to hate. And when she let that – not even let it down but like kicked it out the window and was downright dirty and was willing to reference the fact that she was in prison, mm-hmm. it was like Martha Stewart ruled the day. Mm-hmm. You know, it was she wasn't necessarily even technically the funniest person on that stage.
Pretty
but she
close.
Killed
so
it.
When you describe yeah. how to make a shank out of whatever she – it was a pretty eloquent, beautiful – I think it was cilantro and lime that she
well,
made her
I
shank
think Martha's
out.
Been doing that for a long time though. Like, you know,
I've never heard her speak about her prison stuff.
Well, I don't know about her prison you know. Stuff, but she's, you know, for a long time, she's sort of given you these little glimpses into, like, the dirty side of Martha. Or, like, there was that thing where she let OkCupid or somebody, like, sign her up for a date or Match.com sign her up for
well,
a date.
One of the things that America will not forgive you for not having a sense of humor mm-hmm. about yourself. There is almost nobody who's allowed to not have a sense of humor about him or herself. And I will say that there is something about that sort of – it's one thing to live a wonderful life or to eat nutritious foods. And it's another thing to say, look at my wonderful life. Mm-hmm. Look at me eat wonderful foods. Look at me steam certain parts of myself that you never thought of steaming.
Also, interestingly, there is a feud between Martha and – or it may be a media-created feud between Martha and Gwyneth where they sort of throw shade at each other about – well, mostly Martha. To throw shade at Gwyneth about being an inferior lifestyle guru.
The one experience that I had.
That's conscious.
I am Team Martha.
I did a Connecticut forum with Anthony Bourdain and Duff Goldman from Ace of Cakes and Alice Waters. And Alice Waters was Martha Stewart and Gwyneth Paltrow before there was any such thing. I mean, Alice Waters kind of invented this whole world. And she was struggling with the fact that the audience was really enjoying Anthony Bourdain and Duff Goldman, who were very funny and irreverent. And every time she would try to give a speech about this kind of thing, she'd lose them. And we came off stage and we were in the green room and I said, well, I'm going to ask you about something else. And we came out for the second half and I said, what's like the worst junk food you've ever eaten? And she talked about this time that she'd gotten a big thing of caramel corn and she'd started eating it, like a big one of those big barrels that somebody sends to you in the mail. And she started eating it and she couldn't stop herself. And she was so upset with herself that she threw it in the trash. And the next day she got up and went to her own garbage cans and got the caramel corn out and started eating it again. And the audience loved her. Mm-hmm. People, you know, you just don't want to hear this sententious stuff.
Maybe that's what Hillary is on the road to, is on the road to being able to laugh at herself because she has not shown a great capacity for that in the past.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's my issue with her. I mean, because, you know, I guess that person who's always on edge, you know.
Well, she's very defensive and probably justifiably so. She's certainly the object of derision everywhere.
Yeah.
You have to be able to laugh at yourself and mean it, too. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it can't be something that writers did for you or like that. You have to be able to laugh at yourself.
You remember that moment when she was on the campaign trail 8 years ago and there she was all caught up and emotional and started tearing up. And I did not buy that moment for a second.
See, I did actually.
Buy that moment for a second. And I thought, oh, this is being choreographed to make her look soft and approachable.
I don't know. I think the only one who could cry in command is John Boehner.
Yeah. And William Hurt. All right. So we're going to take a quick break here in just a second for fundraising. When we come back, we'll tell you one more story about a woman caught in a moment that she didn't want to be caught in. So stay with us.
And you're listening to the Colin McEnroe Show here on WNPR. I'm Lucy Nalpathanchil here with Jeff Cohen. We're waiting on your call of support because you appreciate the Colin McEnroe Show weekdays from 1 to 2 on WNPR. We need listener support to keep this program coming to your ears during the week. The number 1-800-584-2788.
Yep, 1-800-584-2788 is the number. The Colin McEnroe Show is one of our unique offerings. I mean, I can guarantee you that a couple things. One, you won't find another station of our size that has three daily locally produced talk shows as reliably as we do. Prove me wrong, but I don't think you can. And two, you won't find anyone with quite as unique as Colin. Colin has a voice that is his. People in Connecticut know who Colin McEnroe is. And it's because he has a show and a newspaper column and a history of being that has to do with being insightful and being smart and engaging and entertaining. And that is the sort of thing you will only find here on public radio. So if you'd like to hear more of it, please don't forget to give us your pledge of support. We're at 1-800-584-2788. If you go online, you can check out all of our phantasmagoric pledge gifts. We've got Mother's Day flowers. That's for a gift of $120 or $10 a month. You can get them delivered. 2 dozen long-stem assorted roses in a purple vase and with chocolates. They come on the 7th of May. For a little bit more, you can get them the next day. So that's $120. That's Mother's Day flowers. It's a great way to support Colin, a great way to support WNPR, and to send flowers to Mom or to anybody else you'd like to send flowers to. And then also for that same amount, a gift of $120, you can have a little bit of WNPR on your voicemail. For that pledge gift, you can have WNPR's Kyone Wolf lend her voice to your voicemail. So if that's an appealing thing for you, then call. You can get flowers. You can get Kyone's voice on your voicemail, whatever works for you. But the most important thing is that you give us a call. We're at 1-800-584-2788.
Jeff mentioned that Colin is a unique voice on the air. And think about all the unique voices that he brings to the air with his Colin McEnroe Show. Today, The Nose, which comes every Friday on WNPR from 1 to 2. And they talk about the news of the week with an assortment of people from different backgrounds and expertise. And this is the kind of radio that you appreciate listening to. That's why you're listening right now. We hold these drives just a few times a year to remind you it is listener support that makes it possible. So the number again, 1-800-584-2788. It really just takes a couple minutes of your time. Have your credit card handy when you call in. Our operators will get you through the process quick and easy. There's a whole host of thank you items that we'd like to offer you, including the Colin McEnroe Show white 15-ounce ceramic mug, What would public radio be without our public radio mugs? And this has become a popular one for a limited quantity. So for $5 a month, you can get the Colin McEnroe Show, and you can show everyone that not only are you a listener, but a supporter of this public radio station. The number again, 1-800-584-2788.
One thing I really like about Colin's show is that it really doesn't fit the mold. Really, I mean, it doesn't. It doesn't, and it hasn't ever sounded like regular public radio has sounded before it. You can't find anything else that sounds like Colin because there's only one Colin, and the voices that he brings to the show, they're really about, you know, like today, for instance, it's intelligent people thinking out loud intelligently about things that are happening in the world. That's maybe not the best summation of public radio, but I happen to like it. I mean, I want to hear who he has on. I want to hear the conversations he has. I want to hear him talk about movies and beer and culture and whatever else he talks about in politics. And he's got a lot of insight, and he's ours. So if you like Colin and you want to keep supporting that kind of programming, please give us a call. We're at 1-800-584-2788. When you do call, consider saying, hey, I want to become a monthly giver, and you can donate money on a monthly basis. You tell us what you want to give annually. We divide it by 12 and charge your credit card every month. So if that sounds like an option for you, it's a great option for us. It's a great way to support public radio. Give us a call, please, 1-800-584-2788.
We hear so often during these fund drives, renewing members, people who support WMPR time and time again. If you have yet to pick up the phone and support WMPR, now's the time. We need new listeners to become supporters. The number, 1-800-584-2788, or you can go online to WMPR.org. But don't wait until the end of our spring fund drive. We're rounding out the first week, and we're hoping to stay strong to reach our goal to bring you quality programs like the Colin McEnroe Show. 1-800-584-2788.
Don't tow truck companies bear some of the responsibility? I mean, what happened to the idea of having happy little puppet shows to explain why your car got towed? Today's show was produced by Colin McEnroe and me, Kyone Wolf. Our intern is Kelsey Bissell. Greg Hill appeared in the intro and tweets for us at WNPR Colin, and Lydia Brown ran the board. The part of Bill Curry was played by Chris Martin. For show pages, articles, and audio of the Food Schmooze Snap Challenge, visit our website, WNPR.org. On Monday, the Scramble keeps an eye on the Boston Marathon. And now, back to the nose.
All right, so we're a little bit out of sync here because of the fundraising. So you just heard a joke about something we haven't really talked about yet, which is tow trucks and towing. And so Jim, I think this morning, alerted us to a video that featured somebody that I personally had never heard of, an ESPN reporter named Britt McHenry. I thought about trying to play the audio, but I think it's so muddy that it wouldn't have come out. And also, she uses a lot of bad words.
That's right, baby girl.
Yeah. And so just to set the stage, she's down in the D.C. area. Her car gets towed. So she arrives at one of those places, and we have all been to those places where they are keeping your car and from which you must retrieve your car, and you have to pay them money. And it's usually a lot more money than you think you should have to pay them. And nobody's ever happy in that situation. But she made it very, very personal to the person that she was dealing with, the woman on the other side of the counter. There were comments about the woman's education, lack of any skill set, weight, number of teeth in mouth, and just general future. At one point she said, I'm on television. You're sitting here in a trailer. And I'm not even conveying. Really,
no,
it
was so mean-spirited and nasty. And I understand. I've had my car towed. But, I mean, it cannot be fun working in that trailer. So it's not like that woman towed her car.
Although Jacques did notice that it was edited, right?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe they edited out the bad parts.
Yeah, I just – I mean, I was sitting there watching it going, she's despicable, yet – almost everything that the woman who works at the tow truck company says is edited out.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like Britt McHenry's greatest hits on one side, and then the other side you're wondering, what?
She did say, careful, this is on tape, and yes. I'm going to play it back.
Right.
Yeah.
The woman behind the counter did warn Britt McHenry that there was a camera on her.
She looks right at
she
it.
She cuts her eyes up towards the camera, acknowledges that it's there, and then just keeps on going.
It doesn't slow her down.
It doesn't
at
slow
all.
Her down, but I still wonder what was left on the editing room floor.
Cilantro and lime.
And lime. Yes.
See, I feel like this is. A theme that I've had, and this is a real sea change for me, a theme that I've had in 2015 is people get in trouble too easily for things. That there's this whole culture of – this shaming culture on the internet where you say the wrong thing, you do the wrong thing, and even if it's kind of a bad wrong thing, people pounce on you and they tear you apart, and this, it's the whole John Ronson thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's this whole idea that you can't make any mistakes anymore. You make a mistake, your life will be ruined for it.
I was Hillary shamed this week.
You were Hillary shamed this week. Yeah. And so – and I've really felt that way too, that it's too easy to get in too much trouble. However, look, watching this video and finding out that she'd only been suspended for a week, I joined the very mob that I have despaired of.
Light those torches.
I became the thing which I beheld, or whatever it is Kevin Costner says in The Untouchables. And yeah, so what's your response?
Well, the thing I was saying, I mean, she's a public figure, I guess, so she gets in trouble. But like, so if I went and did this and there was a video of me on the internet saying these things, like, would my company fire me?
Well,
or,
no, but
or
you would be pilloried,
me?
I would think, equally. If that would be just as viral.
My real question is, like, what does this have to do with her job? She's not, you know, she's not a government official. She's not, you know.
Well, one thing that I would say about that is that she does mention her job a lot. She says, I'm on television, you're not. And, I mean, right. She's taunting this woman about how much better her life is, how much better her career is. She says to this woman, you have no skill set and no education. Mm-hmm. I have a college degree. You don't. You're going nowhere. She says that. I mean, you know. So at that point, when she says, I'm on TV, I'm sort of thinking, you kind of went there, didn't you?
Well, and it's sort of that thing that you always knew that the hateful cheerleader was thinking about you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But you're like, oh, no, that's just a stereotype. And then she does it. But I do have to say she put out, you know, a very nice immediate apology.
But not to the woman. It's not really to the woman. The apology is sort of
to her company.
For her
behavior.
Yeah, but again, we don't know.
That's
we
just
don't know
as
what
scripted as Chipotle.
But I'm really sorry, Tanya or whatever her name is, for saying you don't have any teeth. Yeah. She doesn't say that.
Yeah. I will help pay for one of them.
Hey, a fact's a fact.
If you haven't seen the video, first of all, it is already up on our website.
Everyone's going to see this.
It is what it is. I thought, where have I seen this before? And I realized it's all of the roles that Elizabeth Banks ever plays. You know, she was Alec Baldwin's wife in 30 Rock.
Yeah.
It's Elizabeth Banks, right? She always plays this role, this kind of mean blonde lady who goes there, who will really say these
That's
things.
That's true. I hadn't thought about that. And I was watching the video thing. I'd never heard of her before either, but I don't watch ESPN. I don't even have cable. There's no reason I would know who she is. But so... It's like, I could not tell this woman apart from every other blonde newscaster that has ever existed if you paid me money. So, like,
she
how anyone
like every host on female host on Fox.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
And where she will get her next job, by the way.
All right. So we're going to go from the shaming of not Elizabeth Banks, that's her name, not her name, of Britt McHenry, to somebody that we're going to sort of do like an early endorsement. We're going to do our real endorsements in just a second here. But
is Britt in Connecticut, by the way? ESPN?
This happened in D.C., but I assume that she works
call
out
in?
At ESPN's. If she, yeah, I mean, if you feel as though we're misjudging
I'd love to ever
you,
call it.
Britt McHenry, now someone will call in pretending to be here. But anyway, 860-275-7266.
Toothless jerks.
How did she know we were toothless jerks? She doesn't – Teresa doesn't even have cable. That was a tip-off. That was
you
a tip-off.
At least have cable.
That was a tip-off that we're all living on the margins here.
Snap.
So let's say something nice about somebody. So Tim McGraw is doing this kind of remarkable thing. He is, of course, a country and western singer. And, you know, I mean, his fan base is kind of a country and western fan base, which includes, as it turns out, Teresa Kramer because she doesn't have cable and she is living on the margins. And we've totally misunderstood who she was. But anyway, he's doing this concert for Newtown for Sandy Hook Promise, which is a group that seeks to do something about gun violence and do something about mental health issues as well. And he's taking – well, I mean you sort of follow this. He's taking a lot of grief about this,
yeah,
right?
Well, he's being gun-shamed. Yeah. So we'll get back to our shame theme.
Well, we forgot to listen. We forgot
talk about bottom
we
didn't shaming.
Maybe that's a good thing we didn't
All
do
right.
that. But anyway. Continue.
Hat shamed. He's being shamed by conservatives for, you know, being against the Second Amendment. As it turns out, he probably has 500 guns. He lives, you know, outside of, I think, outside of Nashville somewhere.
I feel like I drove by his property when I was in Nashville.
Were you stalking Tim McGraw?
I was.
I actually know some people who play in his band, and he's a very nice guy. Mm-hmm. He's a hero. If this were the Dixie Chicks, they would be their career would be ruined. Oh wait, they already did that.
Yes.
So I don't think they can ruin Tim McGraw's career. He's too beloved, and he makes too much money for Nashville. So I mean, they may
Sandy Hook.
A whack at it.
It's Sandy Hook.
But you know, you have to understand. Like the day after Sandy Hook, there were 50 websites saying that this didn't happen. You know, and half of them are probably sponsored by extremist right-wing, you know, gun nuts.
We should say that the concert is July 17th at the Xfinity Theater here in Hartford.
I endorse it.
Which theater is that? They keep changing.
I believe that
it's
is the
Meadows.
One down in the
Meadows.
Yes.
So, I endorse his hotness.
you stole my thing, Jeff. Yeah.
So these two of our panelists, at least, are endorsing the hotness of Tim McGraw. And I do think, you know, I mean, I think it is worth sort of saying it's great that he's not backing down. His opening act already canceled.
Yeah, I know. You know, his management got in there. Look
Who
at this.
Was
you
his see
opening Oh, Mike, we're getting here. You've got to cancel.
A guy whose name I did not recognize.
I recognized his name. Was it Billy
Cunningham?
Covington or something like that.
Oh, yeah, isn't he an idol or something?
Whoever he is, he canceled. He said.
But he's making a donation.
Currington.
He doesn't want to get in a fight.
The Dixie Chicks need to be his opening act.
Oh,
like,
right.
This needs to be. Natalie Maine, if you're listening to me, please get out there and offer to be the opening
She's
act.
Getting her car towed.
Yeah.
Right. And she's being really nice.
And reading Goop. And possibly contemplating a scheming.
Oh,
all right. I can't believe I'm the one who said that. I'm the one who tries to prevent people
so
from
glad
saying
you said
but,
that.
All right. So it's time to do our actual endorsements here, our real endorsements. So what are our Jacques turning red. If I made Jacques turn red, I'm probably going to lose my job. All right. So here's Teresa Kramer with some endorsements.
Can we come back to me? You made me forget what I was going to endorse.
Jim Chaplin will start.
I will endorse. There's a new little restaurant on our hip little Park Road called Zest. And I dig it. And it's like a sandwich place, but like really good sandwiches. Mm. And if you put your phone number in enough times, you get a free sandwich. I'm not quite there yet, but I plan to be.
Where do you put your phone number? Into the sandwich?
Yes. They have a keypad on every sandwich. And you just blast that number right in. Edible keypads. And secondly, it's that time of year for me to beg for money, too. So I would say go to www.cureas.org and give whatever money you weren't going to give to PBS. You probably still have a little bit left over, especially if you're Gwyneth Paltrow, and give to a really needy, wonderful organization that cures rare cancers.
All right. Thanks for that. Jacques, what have you got to endorse?
I'm going to do two shameless plugs, sort of. One
I'm
is
shame you.
for shaming me. Yeah. This weekend is our Writers' Weekend at the Mark Twain House Museum. Tonight we have the people who do the Books on the Nightstand podcast. Tomorrow we have a great lineup, including Danny Shapiro, who wrote a book called Still Writing, and also a playwrights panel with Neil LaBute, Christopher Shin and Mark St. Germain, and other wonderful things. So just go on marktwainhouse.org for the whole lineup. And the personal endorsement and plug is to go see my play at the Seven Angels Theater in Waterbury. I loved, I lost, I made spaghetti.
Christopher Shin sent me the meanest email I've ever received in my life. But we have.
We've gotten
past that. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Okay. I think we are anyway. All right. Go ahead.
I do remember now. Last week, I binge-watched a show called Chicagoland that is now on Netflix. I don't really know if it's on a network somewhere or when it airs or anything like that. But it's actually a reality show that follows, like, Rahm Emanuel around Chicago. And
you could have a limited lifespan.
Yeah, but he's not even the most interesting part. It follows a number of other people, but the main core of this is this principal at a high school that's so she's sort of bringing it back from the brink of like her first year there were like 300 fights or something in the school, and now she's got all these programs going on and yada yada yada, and she's always like running through the streets yelling at people to stop like gang wars and she's really interesting and it's fascinating and I couldn't stop. It was like watching The Wire but with real people.
Chicagoland on Netflix. That sounds great. All right. So a few things. One of them is I'm going to endorse. I said this during the break. Yesterday, I had to actually put – we pre-recorded our Black Panther show, which meant that I could go yesterday at 2 o'clock to Trinity Cine Studio to see the new Tom Stoppard play, which is playing only in London. But they do one of those simulcasts, national theater simulcasts, which are also available at the Kate in Old Saybrook. In fact, you can even see the Stoppard play at the Kate on a makeup date on the 23rd. I don't know if Cine Studio is doing the same thing. But I'm not so much endorsing that as the idea of these things and going to these things. I had never been to one before. It's really fun. First of all, you are seeing a play that you can't see any other way unless you're willing to fly to London. And there's sort of little, you know, extras that go along with it. You know, some British TV personality, Emma Freud, comes out and talks to you. And the whole thing was really fun. I really enjoyed it a lot. And Trinity, of course, is a great place to see it with that great big screen. So that's number one. Number two, and this will be near and dear to Jim Chapdelaine's heart, I think anyway. Tomorrow is what is called Record Store Day. And this is a day that celebrates independent record stores, particularly the sort of high-fidelity John Cusack kind that sell actual vinyl. And it has been suggested that some of the independent record stores in this state, which you might visit tomorrow on Record Store Day, are Willimantic Records, The Telegraph, Records the Good Kind, which I think is in Vernon, Replay Records in Hamden, Red Scroll Records, which I think is in Wallingford, I think. But anyway, that's sort of – I like that whole idea anyway of visiting.
Yeah, I don't know if this is Records the Good Kind, but there's a great record shop, vinyl record shop, in the same plaza as Ryan's Deli in Vernon.
Yeah, I think that's what that
it's
one
like
is.
It's like right in the armpit of the armpit of Connecticut. No, it's in the right in the armpit of that strip mall.
Right. We did a whole show a few years ago about these independent record stores, and they really are sort of great things.
In Boston, they're Wreck-It.
Thanks so much to Lydia Brown, who, in fact, kept us on schedule.
Clinton,
oh, here's Wolfie.
McGraw? 2016? Wolf Clinton, 2016. Wolf McGraw Clinton, 2016. Wait, how does this work again?
I'm Jeff Cohen here with Lucy Nalpathanchel, taking a minute at the tail end of the Colin McEnroe Show. To remind you that, hey, that is a really neat program. And it's one that if you're listening now, it's because you want it to hear what all the people who come into Colin's studio every week have to say about all the wonderful, smart, endorsing things that are going on in the world. So if that sounds like you, if you appreciate Colin McEnroe, you need to let him know with the pledge of your support, because shows like his and like our other shows on here on WNPR don't come for free. So please give us a call, 1-800-584-2788.
What's great about our talk shows, and there are three locally produced talk shows
here, every day,
WNPR. That's a lot of work.
Right.
And the producers put into providing you quality radio to listen to. But what's great is that the listeners can actually call in and participate in these conversations and ask questions of the newsmakers and the authors and the musicians that are interviewed on the Colin McEnroe Show and other shows here at WNPR. And we love to provide you that service. But as Jeff said, it's not free. And we remind you just a couple times a year that we need listener support to bring you these types of programs. So if you haven't called yet, it's the end of our first week of fundraising for our spring fun drive. Now's the time. Please don't wait till the last few days. The number 1-800-584-2788. You can also go online, WNPR.org. It's our secure website. And there you can see a great list of thank you items, and you can put in your pledge, and you'll feel great knowing that you've supported this radio station. So again, the number to call if you want to do that, 1-800-584-2788.
And it's great when we're in here all day long. We get to see people who have called in, like Judy, who says she likes the station. Thank you, Judy. And members from Woodbridge and Gales Ferry and other people who say things like, hey, sorry to be late in renewing the first of my two memberships. WNPR remains the most important source of news and information that keeps me tuned into life.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's great. Another person says, I learn something new every day. So if you think you could write something like that because it sounds like who you are, then you need to give us a call. We're at 1-800-584-2788. You know, when you call, do your own personal budgeting. Figure out how much you can give, but give as generously as you can. A $60 pledge works great for us. So does a gift of a dollar a day. That's $365. Maybe you can do $1,000. Really help us meet our goals. Whatever works in your budget, please pledge your support to Public Radio today. We're at 1-800-584-2788.
We hear from a lot of renewing members and some new listeners. So thank you again for your continued generosity to our renewing members. If you have yet to pick up the phone, now's the time. 1-800-584-2788. Well, thank you in advance for supporting the radio station that you listen to each and every day. And we hope to hear from you soon. 1-800-584-2788. And thanks.